scripture reading, and the first slide on the screen, you will see what I would like to talk about this morning. And it is something that I've been thinking about for a number of weeks. And although I had a train of thought and things that I felt ought to be included, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit had different ideas. And he's led me in a slightly different direction, although I still want to talk about running the race. But let me ask a question. When did you last run a race? I mean, I don't see any evidence of headbands and lycra. Primary school with the children. Oh, I can take it a bit further than that. I can just about remember senior school and. Oh, you were running with primary school. I beg your pardon, Jim. But for me, I suppose it might be for many of us. The school sports day. Do you remember your school sports? Yeah, well. I hated it. I have to say, I spent more time trying not to run in any races than the other. But there was one day that you couldn't get out of it, and that was the sports day. And my school was built very close to Hayes Athletic Stadium. And so we didn't even get to do it on our own school field. We had to go into the stadium to be ridiculed by everybody. So I opted for field sports. I threw the discus instead. That seemed to be a lot less trouble. But there was always the dreaded cross-country run. And that was difficult to get out of. But I managed it most of the time. So if you can identify with some of that reminiscing, perhaps what I'm saying will start to make a bit of sense. And maybe like me, you wonder why running the race is mentioned in relation to the Christian life. My inborn dislike of running the race could make me wonder, if this is what the Christian life is going to be about, is it really worth it? But that's not a serious question. Paul, in some of his letters and in other places in the Bible, uses the metaphor of running the race, and it's made out quite clearly. In Galatians, Paul says, "I presented to them the gospel that I preach amongst the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain." And a bit later he says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" And in that reading, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that can easily entangle us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us." It's a good analogy, but we need to understand if it still applies to us today. The Corinthians would certainly have both understood and appreciated what Paul was saying. There's no doubt about that. He made references to competitive running, which was very important to the Greek culture of the time, particularly because the Greeks exalted the human body and athletic prowess. So it made sense to running a race being a metaphor for the Christian life. We know all about the Olympic Games, I think. But second to them were the Isthmian Games, which were held near Corinth every 2 years. And we know around the time of Paul in Corinth, they were actually running these games in AD 51. Many thousands of people from around Greece and further afield attended the games, So it was a good opportunity for Paul to preach the gospel, and I'm sure he took full advantage of that. So Paul talks about running the race, but what does he actually say? Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Only one gets the prize. What's that about? If that was the case, and this metaphor was true for my life as a Christian, what would be the point of me continuing to run? I mean, Abraham would have got the prize. What would be the point at all? Well, the point is that Paul didn't mean that. Obviously he didn't. And those Corinthians would have understood what he meant, because he was talking about the preparation. It's all about the preparation and being ready to run with the complete commitment to win the prize. They would have agreed that in any race only one runner wins, but why participate if you're not trying to win? And Paul is urging them to take all the steps necessary to be able to run, to compete, and to strive to win the prize. His point is not that only one Christian can succeed in the spiritual race that he's talking about, or that we're in a contest with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is referring only to the effort and the dedication that was exhibited by the athletes in those days, and the same effort and dedication we must have. He tells us that the believer should strive in their pursuit of Christ. Their natural self, he says, will run aimlessly. He invites believers to run with a purpose and to receive the prize. I think we can assume that with what we know about the Corinthians and their life and times and Paul's writing to them, they would have bought into that. They would have totally understood it. They would have bought into that. I'm also beginning to realise just what a brilliant communicator Paul was. He always understood his audience, and he always wrote in a manner to suit and appeal to that audience, knowing that they would more fully understand what he was trying to say. And I'm also sure that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can understand and hopefully buy into that same message. But we need to think about it in terms of running or race running today. Perhaps one way to reconsider some of the same metaphors that Paul's used is to update the circumstances, or our circumstances, to reflect a current example of the race. So, just for an illustration, I suggest that we look at the London Marathon. Now, there are all sorts of different races, aren't there? So this is just one small example, but it's one that I think that most of us can identify with, because it's an event that's become part of our culture. I'm not suggesting that there are any of us who've actually taken part, but maybe I'm wrong. It may be something that we'd never ever want to take part in, but we do understand that for others it provides an irresistible challenge, shall we say. And of course it can do a great deal of good. It raises a lot of money for worthwhile causes, and it provides prime time entertainment for many. Not for all, but for many. And there are many useful parallels and metaphors to consider to help us reflect on our personal race or Christian life. But let's not get too carried away by that, because we must focus on something that's far more important. Metaphors and illustrations are all well and good and may certainly help us in our understanding, but the only completely reliable source and point of reference for all this is Jesus himself. What Jesus says is what we should listen to. And nothing else is as important, is it? I think we would all agree. In Proverbs it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Then you will understand what is right and just and fair and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So, we'll look at the London Marathon, but only to really refresh ourselves about what we've seen many times. There's the route. There's another the route. It's interesting, isn't it? Sorry, can you see? Because I would hate you to miss it. We've got a few competitors. And we've got one competitor. And we've got a lot of spectators. I confess that when I was thinking about this subject and deciding to explore running a race, I began thinking about more illustrations that we could take from this. But then I started to feel personally guided by the Spirit to consider things in a different way. And the first thing that became clear to me, and I'm sure that you've come to this conclusion yourself, is that we're actually not talking about a race. We're talking about a journey. It's not the best illustration I could have for the journey, but it shows an earthly father with his child walking off to do something, to achieve something, to go somewhere. It's the sort of image I have sometimes with my Heavenly Father. That I'm just walking along with him and he's telling me where we're going to go, what we're going to do, but I'll come on to that a bit later. It's not a race, it's a journey, but it's an incredible journey, and it's a journey that only someone who truly belongs to Jesus can embark on. This is hardly groundbreaking news, is it? And I've always believed it. The problem is that I've taken it for granted. And I needed to be reminded of a few things. I needed to be reminded about what has happened to me during my journey and the countless blessings I've received so far. Well, my journey started in 1965 when I asked Jesus to come into my life. I wasn't sure what it meant, to be honest. At that time, I should say, I asked him to come into my life, and I think you might have heard me say before, there was no flashes of lightning or any other dramatic things. But I made the decision, and I prayed, and I asked him with the guidance of somebody else. But my life changed, I know that much. How it changed in those early days, can't remember really, but the journey started. And although it's been happening now for the past 59 years, I'm now beginning to understand a bit more about what's been happening. And it's been a fascinating discovery for me, and I think it's important that we all try and realize what our journey has been like so far. Because as I say, we often take these things for granted. But a journey needs a course to run, just like a race does. And so, if I go back, a course has to be mapped out. And it has to be set out. The distance has to be checked, particularly in the marathon. It's got to be exactly 26 miles. Always imagine there was a man with one of those wheels just. But I expect they do it more scientifically now. They also need to understand the route. They need to understand where they're going to have to stop the traffic and put up the barriers, all sorts of things. They need to know if there are any hazards or pitfalls. They have to make sure it's completely and clearly signposted. And there's loads of other things, I'm sure, I haven't forgotten. My course was decided on 59 years ago, and probably even before then. And because the Lord made a decision, all the other factors were taken care of, and nothing was left to chance. Now that is wonderful, but it's just part of the story. And what the rest of the story is incredibly wonderful. Jesus has said to me, I've mapped out your journey for you and everything is taken care of. And by the way, I'm coming with you. Let's take a minute just to let that sink in. Jesus, the creator of the universe, savior of the world, seated at God's right hand, has not only saved me through his death and resurrection, not only mapped out the journey for my Christian life, he's coming with me. Our race, all of us, begins at the moment of salvation, when we declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. It says that in Romans chapter 10. It also says in John chapter 14, verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. That's incredible, isn't it? And he's also made the promise time and time again to people throughout the ages, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's such an added blessing when we consider where our journey might take us, isn't it? I want to stay on this for just a little bit longer, because this incredible truth is what I think Paul was probably saying to the Corinthians. Running away as to get the prize. For the professional athlete, the ultimate prize is a gold medal and a championship title. Only the fastest athlete in a race who comes home first will receive the championship title. So what's the prize for the Christian? What are they supposed to win at the end of the spiritual journey? Some say that salvation is the prize, but the Bible makes it abundantly clear that salvation is not a reward for our labours. It's not a prize we can win with our hard work. Salvation is a free gift of God's grace, not a reward for works. We don't merit salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. We do not earn God's salvation by our personal discipline and hard work while taking on what we consider to be our Christian journey, where we decide to go. We have a salvation from the moment we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Salvation is not a futuristic prize to be won at the end of the Christian journey, but a current and present possession of every born-again Christian. Thus, I'm not taking the journey to be saved. I'm taking it because I'm saved. Only the saved are qualified to make the Christian journey with their Lord. And that is the incredible truth. It also explains why my journey began so long ago and not more recently, when I realized that I've been and am still on the journey. And that for me means it's been with me since my journey began. He has been with me since my journey began in 1965. I'm ashamed to say that I wasn't always aware of that. my progress had stalled, but his love hadn't. And now, as I think back to the circumstances of my life throughout the years, I realise that time and time again, the Lord was at work, even though I wasn't. And he was directing my path and clearing it before me so that I would be where he wants me to be when he wants me to be there. Maybe it was to be here this morning to bring you this message. I don't know. Because I'm still discovering his plans for me. I'm still learning. I'm still on the journey. But if the Spirit is speaking to you through what I'm saying, then perhaps my journey is on the right course. But going back to the London Marathon, let's think about the course for a moment. The route might be mapped out, but it's still in the middle of the city. It's not in some remote area. It's not unaffected by its surroundings. And our journey, our route, might take us to places where the world will want to exert its influence on us. I know that's certainly the case for me. We need to ensure that we remain in the world, but not of the world. And because Jesus is taking that journey with us, that is possible. From time to time, I've wondered why the journey is so important. And so I was very happy to hear Tim's message last Sunday when he talked about justification, sanctification, and glorification. I know that I've been justified. I've always believed that. And I've always believed that when my time comes, I will go to glory. But now I know there are even more blessings to appreciate along the journey that the Lord works out, and it is with him. And is his will and his plan for me. So, throughout my journey, my salvation will remain intact. It's a free gift of grace through faith and not a result of how hard I run. But sanctification along the journey will involve something else. I have work to do. And I will have work to do. Jesus saves us by grace, loads us with gifts of grace, and still looks forward to blessing us for using those gifts. He requires only one thing from us, that we cultivate and use those gifts and talents for him, to do his will. So we must discipline ourselves in the use of the gifts that he has given us to play our part in bringing others to salvation. And Jesus made this very clear, didn't he, in Matthew 28. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, with that in mind, let's just take a final look at the marathon, and this time at the runners. Sometimes it's must be quite difficult to run, because they're all so crammed in, aren't they? And it's not easy to make progress through the crowd. But it doesn't seem to matter, because progress is being made, albeit slowly, towards that common goal. Elsewhere on the course, there are other runners with other abilities. The elite group, they're called, aren't they, in the London Marathon? And they're making their own progress. And quite clearly, they're making it far better than everybody else. but it's still towards the same goal, and they still have to have qualified in order to run. So what's the analogy here? Well, I'm not the only one who's taking a journey. Are you taking a journey? I hope you are. But every person who is saved, who knows Jesus as their Saviour, is taking the journey. And this is something that I find quite difficult to comprehend, because I could say that we're all on that same path. But I'm not sure that we are. I don't think that someone's path might be up that way and another way up that. They might disperse, but they're all going in the same way, and they're all going towards the same goal. Another obvious thing is that the finishing line will be difficult for everyone to get to at once. I mean, it's impossible, isn't it? The finishing line will be different for each one of us, because the length of the race or the length of the journey will be different for each one of us. Some of us, sadly, will have shorter journeys than others. But it doesn't matter, because at the end of each one's journey, we are going to be with the Lord. And that's only half the story when we think of what he is going to do when he comes again. It's difficult to get your head around it, isn't it? So in some ways, it's best to concentrate on your own journey and not worry about anybody else's, not because you don't care, but because God is worrying about that. He's taking care of that. And so, although our journeys are going to be similar, they might not be exactly the same. And we might not be able to compare ourselves to another Christian or another brother and sister in Christ, but it doesn't matter, because we've got the Lord with us. And the Lord has got no shortage of love for everyone. And he's going to be with us. But talking about the work that we need to do, there are others that are involved, aren't there? In the marathon, there are thousands upon thousands of people that aren't part of the race. There are thousands and thousands of souls that need to be saved, that need to hear the message, to hear the good news. And that's the work that each of us will have to do and should be doing. So how's your journey going? Only you know that. Only you know what your relationship is with your Lord. And I can only speak from my personal experience. So I'd like to close with what I believe the Lord has been saying to me over the past few weeks about my journey. Forgive any paraphrasing and poetic license. But I think his message to me is abundantly clear, and it starts with my name. And you might want to just think of your name at this point. Julian, your salvation is secure. My gift to you is eternal life. Eternal life for you begins now, and I've set out the way for you. I know you, and I know there are challenges and obstacles ahead that you will find difficult. So I am coming with you. I will be there, and we will overcome them. I have so much to show you and to give you. There is so much more to your life now. You can choose to stay here on the start line, but you'll be missing so much. And there are things I need you to do for me. You already have the gifts and the talents I've given you. I want you to use them for me. Perhaps he's saying something very similar to you. And all I can say is, you should listen, because when you do, he reveals so much more. Let's pray. Help each one of us to take on our journey with endurance and passion, and help us to do it well. Thank you for being with us, always there to lift us up and cheer us on. With you by our side, lighting our path, anointing us with endurance, we want to continue in strength and great passion for your glory, and to draw others to your love and your salvation. Amen. Amen.